This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Yeah. Everyone all set? Cocked, locked. Hour number two of USA Prepares. Thank you for being with us today. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
Hey, Vin. Can you hear me okay? I there was some static on the line when I first signed in.
Five by five. Absolutely perfect. You know, Bert, I was thinking, you know, when Lindley was on the hour before, and we were talking about homeschooling, and yes, you can homeschool. You don't have to ask for permission. And I mentioned something that I thought was an eye opener. I said you don't have to buy a gun from a gun company. You know, Smith and Wesson or Winchester, Ruger. You can make your own. And the same is true for homeschooling. You don't have to send your children to the public school system. Now, you went, and I went. But in addition, though, I believe that you and I didn't know you when you were in elementary school, but you and I separately did some homeschooling ourselves. And what I mean by that is you were interested in electronics, you were interested in mechanics. Your father, you know, got you a jump start in learning about all kinds of things, and so did my father. And then we took it from there. So we were involved in some of our own homeschooling, self-homeschooling. Isn't that true?
Yeah. You know, I think I had more interest in my home project than I really had in anything being taught in the courses. I can remember one time I don't know what grade it was in, let's just picture fifth grade, and I was just had this whole package of electronic things I was just writing with, and you know, I have no idea what the teacher was talking about, but she come up and she took all my papers from me, and I don't think that's allowed, but thank God at the end of the class I thought she was going to tear them up. She gave them back to me with a stern warning, but I just had no interest in pretty much any subject that they were teaching. Now, that said, I did okay, you know, good enough to get into a good university. And, you know, it's almost the same thing at university, though. You know, the first 2 or 3 years, I wasn't that interested in most of the subjects. It wasn't until we had electives where you could really pick some fun stuff in electronics to work on that I got on the dean's list.
Yeah, and the same is true for me, except for the dean's list part. we were interested in these hobbies, and these hobbies became passions. And frankly, some of the technology that came out of our association was really, really interesting. It was the kind of technology that you really couldn't even talk about because there were people who frowned on making electronic devices as we did at the university.
Yeah, and you know, that reminds me. So you say, oh, well, what good comes of it? You're just indulging yourself. But I think I've told the story before, but I'll tell it real quick. I got my first job after graduating because of a side project I worked on, which you know very well, the FM tuner that I designed and built on my own time. I did have a job in a speech communications lab, and then on my own time working in that lab, I built a very sophisticated FM stereo tuner, I thought it would be good enough to pick signals up from 200 miles away. That curvature of the Earth, I hadn't quite calculated out, was going to prevent FM direct wave from doing that. But that design, I mean, this was so uncanny, so coincidental. That design had all the latest technology that was being used in this cable television provider's advanced new set-top box. And when I went for the interview, I knew how all the circuits worked in their box, only because the same FM demodulator, the same stereo multiplex decoder, the same dual-gate MOSFET front end, it was all in both products. And they showed me their schematic, thinking like, oh, he won't know any of this. And I told them how everything worked in it. And needless to say, I was hired.
Were you hired on the spot?
No. You know, it's funny because they said, we'll get back to you. And I think they were scratching their head because this guy, the company was Blondertongue Laboratories. I think they've since been acquired by Scientific Atlanta. But I think they thought maybe I was a spy from Gerald, part of General Instrument, who was their arch rival. But I was too young and, you know, naive to be a corporate spy. So the next weekend, I was actually up at the university going back to visit my ex-girlfriend, and they called my house. My mom got it. They were worried. I think I was on another interview, and they said, tell him he's hired. He's hired. He's got the job. So, I worked there 2 years before moving to the West Coast. That company was in New Jersey. By the way, not too far from where a very recent college roommate of mine happened to grow up and live.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting that you mention this. And so as I look back at my first real interview, it was with Litton Industries, LITTON. It's a Fortune 100 company. And my association with you and building electrical devices, electronic devices, and you teaching me and so forth and mentoring me, that added to my experience profile. And I decided that I was going to build a computer. I built my first one in elementary school. It was an analog computer. But I built another one right after that. And so I went to... Mrs. Finelli had a job interview with Litton and as a computer programmer. And so I thought, well, I'll just go with her. You know, we weren't married at the time. I'll just go with her and see what's up there. So I went to the library, and I learned all about Litton Electronics, at least this particular division. And so I knew who the vice presidents were. I knew what their sales were. I knew who the customers were. I knew how many offices they had. I knew, you know, the basic data about the company. And at the time, I had a BS in finance and economics. And so I was in the waiting area while she was being interviewed, and I just asked for an application, and so I started filling it out. Next thing I know, I was called into the director of personnel's office for an interview. I wasn't planning on being interviewed, but there I was. And so my experience in electronics, my experience in finance and economics landed me a job right then and there as a financial analyst for Litton Industries. And within 6 months, I got a raise, a huge raise, because they promoted me to computer systems analyst, and they sent me off to IBM to be trained as a computer systems designer, because I understood a little bit about business and a little bit about electronics and, you know, the company. And so all of these things add up. They all add up to your experience, a set of experiences, and that's something that can't be taken away from us, you know. I mean, well, maybe through some extensive brainwashing, but typically... our experiences are really important. And if you're passionate about something, and you pursue it, you'll be better at it than if someone forces you to learn it at school. And so, Bert, it sounds like you and I had problems paying attention in elementary school and high school because, frankly, we were interested in other stuff, things that we thought were more important. And I'm not talking about sports and throwing a ball around. I'm talking about building things, designing things, developing things, and proving that we can actually do it to ourselves. Isn't that what we did?
Yeah, and I think that's true to this day. And, you know, there is now a new movement to encourage people to maybe not go the college path. I mean, I think I did need my training, both for the basics in electronics, which I didn't, you know, I learned kind of hands-on electronics, but not the theory. And the same on my business side, you know, I needed to know the nuts and bolts of, for instance, how to read financial statements, financing, accounting, and legal framework. So I think you do need, if it's business or technical, I think you still probably need some college training. But as far as most people, what they do in their careers, including computer programming, I think you can learn that on your own and be totally qualified. And I think there are some movements now in a lot of major companies to open up and not necessarily require a college degree for the position, and I think that's good.
And so what you and I did separately, you know, we learned as youngsters about things we're interested in. We enhanced that by going to the university, and then we started a company. And we used our experiences that we had before the university, you know, elementary school, our passions, our hobbies, etc. We used those experiences, plus the formal training, and we started a company. And in my, correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't we pretty much on the cutting edge of technology in 1980, weren't we? I mean, you and Andy and me. Weren't we really there?
Yeah, well, that's where I think most entrepreneurs want to be. So, you know, that nothing startling there. I think that's always the case, I think.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to share with our class is just a little case study of us. And we decided that we were going to start a company. And we were going to compete on the world stage with the biggest of the big. And we were passionate about it. And we didn't have any money. We were broke. And we still tried it. And so, I guess the lesson is, if you're passionate about it, you might be able to do it. It's not going to be easy. I mean, there are whole, you know, it's like trying to climb a ladder with people trying to pull you off and other people trying to shake the ladder. Right? I mean, that's what it's like. We had plenty of people who wanted to see us go under, right? Sabotage, misinformation, lawyers just feeding us the wrong information. That's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But we persisted. So what would you like to talk about today? You want to talk about counterfeit products? I've got a story to tell you.
Yeah. There's something I want to get off my chest about a professor.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. And then I'll tell you a short story about sneakers. Sneakers. I bought some sneakers. You might think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. All right. So Bert and I will be right back. We're going to be talking about a professor, and we're going to be talking about sneakers.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Bert, tell us the story about the professor.
Well, sad to say, gentleman, but he's no gentleman, was a sociology professor at Santa Clara University, where I have my business degree from, where I got my MBA. So you know, Vince, we're having terrible fires again this year in California. And
absolutely. We've been reporting it, yes.
Yeah, I was reluctant to tell this story because I don't want to encourage crazy behavior from people who just aren't screwed on right. But nevertheless, here's the story. A professor from Santa Clara University in the sociology department, I can give you his name, but not worth it. He'd been going around the fires. So he didn't start the big fire, but he would go to where there's already a fire and then set outlying fires all around them. I guess he's been doing this all summer long. And the investigators saw his car suspiciously around some of these fires in many areas that had been evacuated, so you shouldn't even be there. So they got court authority to put a tracker on his car. They subsequently tracked him, lighting more fires, and finally arrested the guy. But I don't know why it took like 2 weeks to do that. I would have arrested the guy immediately because he couldn't answer any of their questions, like about why are you here? He couldn't answer that. So the guy has finally been arrested. We don't know how many fires for sure he caused, but we think it's numerous. And again, he would go to where there was already a fire and then just start lighting fires in outlying areas to make things worse. And God knows how many homes he's destroyed, lives he's ruined. I have no idea what somebody thinks when they do this. But he was a part-time professor both at Santa Clara University and also Sonoma State College. Sonoma State University, and a professor in sociology, no less. So very, very sad story.
So what are the takeaways from this? So people have sent their children, and some people have sent themselves, to study at this university where this guy was an assistant professor. This twisted, sick guy. An arsonist. So, just because someone works for the government doesn't mean they're a good person. Just because someone works for the state university doesn't mean they're a good person. And we're seeing more and more of this. So, you mentioned, Bert, that, and I'm paraphrasing, you don't want this to be glorified and you don't want copycats. Is that right? Is that what your message was?
Yeah, that's why I was, you know, we talked about this. I was reluctant to tell the story because I don't want to glorify something so horrible. I mean, there's people losing their whole livelihoods. I mean, it's just terrible what's going on. And this guy somehow thinks he wants to add to that. I guess I don't get it. If I wanted to be funny, I'd say you need a sociology professor to figure someone like that out. But this guy was a sociology professor.
Yeah. So, Glass, when you think about this, here's what comes to my mind: homes being destroyed, infrastructure being destroyed, the cleanup is a mess, the air pollution. I mean, all of the things that go into this: loss of jobs, loss of livelihood, loss of life. And then you think about the little animals. So if you are an average height person and your eyes are about 5 feet off the ground, you can stand in the yard and look around from a 5 foot elevation. If you are a turtle or a frog or a rabbit or a squirrel, your vantage point is like a few inches off the ground, maybe. So you can't see where to go. You can't look and say, well, there's no fire over there, let me go that way. Because you don't have the elevation advantage that people have. So these animals don't know where to go. They're absolutely terrified. They're in the fight of their lives, and it's man-made. So what should happen to someone who is an arsonist that causes problems like this? That's easy. Trial, sentence, execution by hanging in the public square.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Taliban insurgents in Afghanistan on Friday seized Kandahar and Herat, the country's second and third largest cities. With shades of the Vietnam withdrawal in 1975, President Biden is sending 3,000 troops to Afghanistan to help evacuate the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby on Thursday.
The Department of Defense will temporarily deploy additional personnel to Hamid Karzai International Airport. Secretary Blinken, together with Secretary Austin, had an opportunity to speak with President Ghani to coordinate coordinate our planning earlier today.
The Food and Drug Administration on Thursday approved an additional COVID-19 booster vaccination dose for those with weak immune systems or have received organ transplants. The FDA said that a third dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine may increase protection in those that are immunocompromised. The Center for Disease Control's advisory board is meeting Friday to discuss more recommendations for those with weak immune systems. USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
President Biden on Thursday ordered 3,000 troops to help evacuate U.S. Embassy staff from Kabul, Afghanistan, as the Taliban is on track to overtake the country. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
We are further reducing our civilian footprint in Kabul in light of the evolving security situation. We expect to draw down to a core diplomatic presence in Afghanistan in the coming weeks. In order to facilitate this reduction, the Department of Defense will temporarily deploy additional personnel to Hamid Karzai International Airport. Secretary Blinken, together with Secretary Austin, had an opportunity to speak with President Ghani to coordinate our planning earlier today. Let me be very clear about this. The embassy remains open, and we plan to continue our diplomatic work in Afghanistan. The United States will continue to support consular services, and that includes the processing and operations of the Special Immigrant Visa Program, and will continue to engage in diplomacy with the Afghan government and the Afghan people. Additionally, we will continue our focus on counterterrorism.
U.S. officials believe the Taliban could retake Kabul within months of Biden's August 31st deadline for removing most U.S. troops from the country. The Parker Solar Probe, NASA's sun-studying spacecraft, made its 9th daring dive past our star to see how the sun works. Monday's flyby was about 6.5 million miles from the sun's surface. The sun averages 93 million miles from Earth. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So, class, we don't want to glorify arson. So here's the question I have for you. Let's say you're a farmer, and let's say the conditions are pretty dry, and you smell smoke, and you hop in your Jeep or truck, and you go to look at the fire, and you see it's your farm's on fire, and there's a line of fire, and it looks like it's going to be pretty hard to put this thing out, and you travel along the fire line and you see there's a guy with a gasoline can and he's bending over and he just lit another fire to complement the fires that you already have. And you're absolutely certain, no question about it, that this guy just lit a fire on your property, on your farm, and your farm's on fire. What would you do? What would you do? Would you yell at them? Would you tell them to stop? Would you tell them to come on over? Would you encounter them? Would you wrestle them to the ground? What would you do? What would you do? There's one thing that farmers all have. They've got tools with them. All kinds of tools. Now, I got to tell you that I would suspect that around here, if something like that happened in the Midwest, you hear a loud bang, and that'd be the last fire that that guy started. I think that's what would happen. So what I'm saying is arson is deadly. People's lives are threatened. People die. Property is destroyed. Animals are murdered. And it's unacceptable. A farmer is not going to allow his livestock to be killed by fires because some moron decides to play with matches. It's unacceptable. And so in order to stop this, what has to happen, in my opinion, is there has to be a public demonstration of outrage. And that could be done with a simple piece of rope. Bert, back to you.
Yeah, you know, I hear you. I still don't understand why they had to get a court order to put a tracker on his car, follow him around for 2 weeks while he set more fires before they finally arrested the guy. And then it says if he's found guilty, his potential penalty is $250,000 fine. I mean, give me a break. He probably caused more than that much damage just in one section of forest. He's probably broke, but that's besides the point.
And there's another part of this, a secondary effect. So after the smoke clears and all that, and the new graduate from University of Santa Clara is applying for a job, and the interviewer looks at the resume and sees University of Santa Clara and says, oh, I know. Yeah. That's where that professor started that wildfire. That degree has now been diminished by half because of the association of that moron, that part-time professor at the university.
Yeah, it's a good school, Ben. A really good school, so I'm very sad to see that happen. Yes. It says his maximum. I mean, I hope they find more charges and that can add to this, but it says the maximum penalty he could face is up to 5 years in prison and up to a $250,000 fine. I mean, give me a break. Does that sound close to being equitable?
Absolutely not. The insurance companies will be paying the power lines that have been destroyed, the infrastructure of the telephone network that's been destroyed. Just think about all of the temporary housing that these people have been burned out, all the cost for those hotel and motel rooms. Just that. Besides the furniture, the memories, and the lost lives. Bert, I bought a pair of sneakers. And I bought them on eBay.
Well, that's good, because that last pair was getting holes in them.
Well, actually, and so my favorite class, the sneakers that I think are the very best, are manufactured by a company called Brooks. And I guess, for some reason, they don't have a high-profile name, but they are truly outstanding. And I only like leather sneakers, all leather uppers. So my Brooks are worn out, and my New Balance, which I consider to be second best value, are shot too. So I decided to buy a pair of, I wanted to buy Brooks, but, you know, $200 for a pair of sneakers is like beyond what I would do. I mean, I'd have to be stupid to do that. And so I found a pair of New Balance, and it said that they come with a box, and they're slightly yellowed, so they were about $50-something dollars. I thought, gosh, that, you know, I remember sneakers used to be like $7.99. Well, back when we used to make them, like Keds and PF Flyers. Well, I bought them, and, you know, it said they're leather. And I opened the box when they arrived. It came in a box, brand new. There's not a sign of leather anywhere. And it doesn't say leather on the tag, you know, inside the tongue of the sneaker. And so I immediately started an action against the seller, and I said, not as described. Meaning, he described them as leather, and there's no leather. Then I immediately got a response from eBay saying, okay, here's your return shipping label. This guy says, no, you have to pay for return shipping. But he lied. He lied and he said they're leather and they're vinyl. They kind of look like leather, but they're not. So I called New Balance and I said, can you tell me what leather upper means? And they said, well, all of the material that's above the outer sole is leather. All of it. That's what leather upper means. I said, okay. Well, I've got your sneakers here and they don't have that. So she asked for the model number. She said, you know, that's been discontinued. We don't have them. This is corporate customer service. She said, if you want New Balance sneakers that are leather, you're going to have to buy them from us. I have to buy them from you guys? I got to buy them from New Balance? Really? Or one of their authorized stores? Or we can't guarantee that you're going to get New Balance sneakers, even though they say New Balance, and we can't guarantee what the material's going to be. I said, I'm kind of reading between the lines here, and I'm hearing you say, without you saying these words, that sounds like I've got counterfeit sneakers. She said, well, I'm not saying that, but I can't tell you that they're ours. And if they were ours, they'd have leather. They'd be leather. And I said, well, they're going back. So I get this nasty gram from this guy who sold them to me, and he says, the manufacturer says that they're leather. Okay, so the manufacturer says that they're leather, you know, this particular model number, and I think it's a 409, MX-409, I think. I'm going by memory, but I'm not really sure. So the manufacturer says that they're leather, but we don't know if the manufacturer even made them. They might be counterfeit. So what we're finding out is that the Chinese are counterfeiting so many things that we don't even know what we're buying anymore. Just because it says, you know, a brand name that we like doesn't mean it's real. The Chinese are counterfeiting U.S. currency. Chinese are counterfeiting antique silver dollars. And they age this metal that's not silver to make it look like it's, you know, it's got plenty of wear on it. And dirt. And people look at them and they go, these are real. If you've ever handled them, you can tell they're not real because their weight is just off a little bit.
Yeah, they're counterfeit. Napa Valley wine as well, if you can believe that.
They're counterfeiting wine. Okay, who's doing it, do you know? Is it Chinese?
Yeah. Well, one is just outright counterfeit, you know, counterfeit the labels, whatever. And who's going to know? Like some city in the middle of China where there's a wine shop, are they really going to know that that's not the official label of the vineyard? But the other way they do it, which I think is more prolific, is they'll take an actual bottle from the restaurant and that's empty and then refill and recork it with some cheap red wine or whatever, something close. Mm.
are you saying that they'll go through a restaurant that sells a lot of wine, and they'll go through the dumpster and grab all the bottles?
Either that, or the restaurant just gives them sells them the bottles.
Well, I know for a fact that
restaurant.
When I was
in on
when,
it.
Oh, okay. I know for a fact that when I was making wine in Virginia, I needed a lot of bottles, and so a restaurant was willing to give me every single bottle that they had. They would just rinse it, put it back in the case, and they would give them to me. And so I used them for my own purposes. I never sold any wine, but I used them for my own purposes. I bought brand new corks, a corking machine, and I made our own labels, Virginia Vineyards was the name of the winery. And it worked great because bottles are really, really expensive, especially if you buy them in low quantities of less than 1,000. So I got them for free, and, you know, I made wine and aged it, and, you know. But I can understand exactly what you're saying and how this would absolutely work to counterfeit wine. Have you found other products that are being counterfeited besides, cell phones and wine?
Pretty much everything.
Okay, so I bought some pencils, class. I wanted to buy some yellow pencils. Went on the internet, and I bought a gross of them. That's 144, 12 times 12. And they're made by a company called Dixon. Dixon is an old pencil company from the late 1700s. And Dixon used the finest Chinese graphite. So they made a pencil that was absolutely perfect, using Chinese graphite over 100 years ago. And so I bought these because I wanted to use them for writing, homeschooling, when I do carpentry, marking wood. Because you can't use a ballpoint pen if you're going to mark wood to cut it. And so I've had them for about 2 years. I took some out, asked Mrs. Finelli to sharpen them while I was measuring, and the erasers broke off. You go to erase, these shear right off. We'll be right back.
Would you like to breathe in freedom wherever you go? Now you can with the Amulet Shield. Based on space-age technology, the Amulet Shield emits positive ions and surrounds you with a forest-fresh scent wherever you go. Roaming big box stores, riding stuffy elevators, or waiting in long lines, the Amulet Shield hangs around your neck and runs 24 hours when fully charged. Breathe in freedom with the Amulet Shield. Find the Amulet Shield at ProjectPillowTalk.com or call 877-289-7439. No, the Amulet Shield will not kill, cure, or heal anything except fear of not being able to breathe in freedom. So call or click today, ProjectPillowTalk.com or 877-289-7439. That's ProjectPillowTalk.com or 877-289-7439. Breathe in freedom with the Amulet Shield. Currently established federal laws that govern dietary supplements do not allow us to diagnose or treat any medical condition.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please, call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's gonna be sliding.
When are today's hot?
Why have got your
take? When you go to the for 2 seconds during.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
So I've got this gross of Dixon pencils in my hand. It's a box and it says, Dixon, these pencils are great for your school, home, office, writing needs. 100% real wood. Dixon, the pencil people since 1795. That's over 200 years. So I bought these. I tried to use the erasers, and the erasers don't erase. They actually smudge this orangey, reddish goo on the page, which leaves more than what you're trying to erase. Okay, and you can't get that off. So the erasers smudge, and then they break off the first time you go to use them. The lead is substandard. It's gritty. So I called Dixon, and I talked to this gal by the name of Jennifer. And I explained the problem, and she said, we'll send you some replacements. And I said, Jennifer, I have 144 of these, but I don't want you to believe me, so let me send you an email with some pictures. And so I sent her the pictures, and here is the text of the email I sent her. This is to the Dixon Ticonderoga Pencil Company. Jennifer, attached are pictures of the box of 144 pencils that are made in China. One image shows a pencil eraser that broke off while trying to erase for the first time. All of the erasers have broken off the same way. Another image shows the unused pencils along with the one that has the eraser sheared off. The eraser is adjacent to the pencil at the at the 2 o'clock position. It's difficult to see the eraser because it blends in with the other pencil erasers. The dent in the material, the metal eraser sleeve, happened when the eraser sheared off and the sleeve came in contact with my desk blotter. Additionally, the lead is difficult to use as it does not transfer smoothly across the paper. I suggest that if Dixon USA wants to encourage learning penmanship, that Dixon USA makes the writing experience more enjoyable. The way to do that is to manufacture the pencils in the United States of America once again. I would appreciate if you could replace these unusable pencils with ones that would be true to the Dixon Ticonderoga legacy. Thank you for your kindness and attention. Vincent Fennelly with my address. And I got an email back from her. Hi, Vincent. Please know that the replacement pencils are being sent out in the mail today. Have a wonderful day. And so I sent her an email, and I said, Jennifer, will the pencils be different from the ones that I found to be defective? Thank you, Vincent Fennelly. She said, yes, hi, Vincent, they will be different as we do not have any of the specific item in the office. Thank you, Jennifer. So they don't make them anymore. They don't make these pencils anymore. They're junk. And now companies with American names, the ones that we used to believe in, are now feeling the wrath of customers who object to these defective made-in-China products. And by the way, Dixon is not even a U.S. company anymore. It's an Italian-owned company. Bert, any comments about this?
Yeah, well, it's going on in every product, in every industry. And I think we're conflating two separate issues, and I don't know which is worse. One is counterfeiting, and the other is American companies going to China and sometimes other countries to manufacture their products with lacking quality control and processes and ingredients. So they're both problems. I'm not sure which is worse. One is counterfeiting. One is just the offshoring or resulting in low quality.
When I was a teenager, I sold auto parts at the local auto parts store. And the bearings, you know, you could get front wheel bearings, rear wheel bearings, etc. And they had names like Bauer. They had names like Timken, Bearing Corporation of America. They were U.S. companies, and we made bearings. We don't make bearings anymore. So now if you buy a Timken bearing, it might be from China. If you buy an AutoZone bearing or an O'Reilly bearing, the likelihood is really great that it's going to be made in China. The bearings for your lawnmowers, the lawnmower spindles, made in China. The bearings for your alternator, made in China. The bearings that the idler pulleys that support your belts, your serpentine belts on your engines, your cars, made in China. And we don't make them anymore. And if we have to fight a war, we're going to have to ask the Chinese to pretty please, thank you, can you send us some bearings so we can fight you guys? We can't even fight a war with our own products anymore because we don't make them. We are dependent on China for pretty much everything, including our killing our pets with toxic waste that they ship to American and Canadian manufacturers to blend in with the dog food. They kill our dogs. It's all proven.
Yeah.
So, Bert, is there any way around this greed? Can we fix it by not tying executive pay to stock price? Can we fix it by eliminating that?
We can always fix it, Vince. I remain optimistic.
Well, I hope you're right. I really do. I think we've passed the point of no return in climate and pretty much everything else. I hope you're right. I hope I eat my words. Bert, thanks so much for being with us today.
And, you got it.
Thank you for sharing your expertise. And class, try to boycott everything you can in China. Read the labels. Where does it come from? And if it comes from China, try to buy something else.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.